for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday afternoon, April 21st, 1984. Spring camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campground, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Irma Miller is the teacher of the afternoon. This is a deliverance service. Praise the Lord. Irma, come on and we'll. The Lord bless as you minister, teach this afternoon.
My voice is not too strong, but the Bible says, let the weak say they are strong. I am. My voice is strong. I'll tell you how I got this. We went to California. Now, we lived out there 32 years, and I was used to ocean air. And I don't remember ever having anything particularly wrong, my bronchial tubes or lungs. But as we minister, for some reason, I just put everything I've got into it, and I get ringing wet, hair and all. And we had meetings all the way to California, Odessa, Texas, El Paso, Texas, Phoenix. And then we attended a leadership conference in Phoenix at the Sweetwater Church. Then we went on to Los Angeles and visited our son. And my daughter-in-law thought I should get a nice tan, being I was in California for a few days. And so she took me outside, and I thought it was cold. The wind was blowing, and the sun was shining. Glenn would pray for me, and I'd fight it off. The Lord would heal me, and then I'd expose myself again, and it just kept going on and on. Well, to make a long story short, we were gone 3 weeks, and off and on, I'd croupy. And when we got home 3 or 4 days and went to Springfield, Missouri, and it was real hot in the building, and they'd wait till we'd all get wringing wet, then they'd put on the air conditioner and all that cold air fall down upon us. And I came home, stayed home 3 or 4 days, and we went to Fort Worth. And we went to Christ for the Nations for the visit, Penny and Tara, and they said they wanted to come out to this convention where we were the next night, and they were coming to our motel first, about 5 o'clock. So they came, and they brought two young men. They're music teachers down there, but they brought two young men, and they wanted to take us to dinner. Well, we didn't really want to go to dinner, but this particular convention, they always did. It's where Brother Jack Harris was preaching and some others. And so they said, well, we'll just stay here in the motel. Can we pray? And that's what they really had in mind. They thought we wanted dinner, but we didn't really want dinner. And so we said, yes, we'll pray. A small motel, and it was a new motel, Motel 6, and they had a lot of trucks by morning. Well, when we get home from church at midnight or 1 o'clock, that motel lot would be full of these big trucks. And so we began to pray. And one boy hadn't been saved very long. Is it loud enough back there, Patty? Yes. So as we began to pray, this spirit in this boy began to roar like a lion. I mean, just shake the rafters. And it went on for quite a while, this manifestation. And as it went on and on, I heard the motel door open next door. And I thought, we probably are going to get in trouble. And I said to Penny, what's this boy's name? Because sometimes when demons are manifesting, if you call the person's name, they will, or you can talk to them and tell them, don't let that thing manifest, just bring it up. Cast out means quick jerk, breathe out, and expel or vomit. That's what the dictionary says. Cast out. And Jesus said, believers will cast out evil spirits. So I said to the boy, I called him by name, I said, don't let that thing manifest like this. Let's just bring it up and get rid of it. And just as I had said that and he quieted down, there was a loud knock on the door, and manager, open the door, manager. So Glenn opened the door, and we were all prim and sitting there just as nice as you please, you know, and two big truck drivers, I mean big husky men, and Glenn went out and they said, sounds like you're murdering somebody in here. Glenn said, no, we're just praying for this young boy, calm and collected. And the manager said, oh, yes, this is the Reverend. This is the Reverend. Well, this is all right. He's not murdering anybody. And so we got out of that scrape. But it was so hot in that room, and it was already time to go to church by that time, about 7. And I was wringing wet. I had on a wool suit and a long sleeve blouse, and I was just wringing wet with perspiration from praying. And I went out in the cold air, and from there I got bronchial pneumonia. And I'm still not totally back to my normal self, so you people pray for me. But while I was in bed, I had the tape recorder going with the Word of God, and I was doing a lot of thinking. You know, flat on your back, you can do a lot of thinking. And I was listening along one day, and I heard Paul in Corinthians. He said, I glory in my infirmities. Now, that scripture hadn't never meant anything to me before, because I basically have not been sick since Honey, Your Baby went outdoors. And so I sat up in bed and rolled the tape recorder back, and I began to listen to that again, and I said, Lord, I don't know how I can glory in this infirmity. But I got up then, put on my robe, and I went out in the other room and got my Bible, and I thought, I'm going to look this up and see what this really means. This is what it says. To glory in your infirmities. And Paul said that he was sent a messenger of Satan to buffet him lest he become proud in his revelation. So I said, Lord, I don't want to be proud in any revelation you've given us. And the Lord has given us lots of revelation here. He really and truly has. And we have tried to share it with other people. Whatever we know about deliverance, we try to give it out to other people, because the more you give out, the more he's going to keep giving in to you. And so anyway, basically that's what's wrong with my voice. And I can't stand too much wind, but I'm going to try to minister today from Corinthians, but not from that scripture. That's all I'm going to use about that. Let's go to the sixth chapter. Well, let's go to the third chapter first, 1 Corinthians. We had a great time up in the ladies' deliverance meeting, and a lot of the girls got tremendous deliverances. We discussed pierced earrings. I know that's a tedious subject. Only the grace of God has kept me from ever getting them, but I didn't happen to ever get them. But God says, don't be cutting on your body, on this temple. And don't be putting marks on your body, you men, these tattoos. Maybe you've never heard that before, but I mean, today is the first day, and we can learn something. And this little gal right over here in blue, she had a tremendous deliverance. I don't know when I've ever seen such a hard deliverance, but it's all over now, and she's, praise the Lord, put your hands up, praise the Lord. Last time she was here, she's only been here twice. First time she came, it was, the meetings were really basically all over, and we were having kind of an impromptu, after the morning, Monday morning Labor Day meeting was over, we were having a little meeting here in the afternoon of some people who still had some stray evil powers that they wanted to get rid of, and Glenn and I was just kind of ministering, and we were exhausted, but she got delivered from cigarettes, and I didn't even know she smoked. I really don't know how the Holy Spirit worked that all in to get that out of her, but all of a sudden she was delivered of cigarettes and hasn't wanted another cigarette since. So today she got rid of her pierced earrings, and a lot of curses were broken on her today. Tremendous. She's going to be a whole new person and a deliverer in Zion. The minute you get delivered, and you can deliver other people in the same categories, and a lot of problems with, I'm getting ahead of myself. Let me read my text. 16th verse of the third chapter of 1 Corinthians. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? How many know that? How many know that God's Spirit is dwelling in your temple? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. Isn't that scary? You fear God at all? We're supposed to fear God and hate evil. It says, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. That's got a lot of connotations to it, and I'm not going to go into it. I'm just going to ask the Holy Spirit to just bring that to your mind and allow him to work that in you to change you. You see, if somebody would walk up to you and say, hey, you are defiling your temple by smoking those cigarettes, and God says he's going to destroy you, it might shake you. But the word of God, the Bible says there's going to be earthquakes in the last days. And I hope I can shake you this afternoon with the word of God. How many want to be shut? How many want to be changed? We have to be changed sometimes and shut sometimes, really shuck up, before we really get this in our spirit and in our mind. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man, any person, defiles the temple of God, this temple, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Now, I am not one to rest enough. And I'm always getting reprimanded by ministers and people. You've got to rest, Irma. You've got to rest. And I have been in very good health and very strong. And every morning get up and rush down here. I'm drinking my orange juice and my protein in the bathroom while I'm brushing my teeth and rushing around and getting all my clothes and come down to the 8 o'clock prayer meeting. And then the day begins and I never stop all day long. And then sometimes we're praying half the night. And I haven't rested enough. So I was defiling my temple, wasn't I? Because we're supposed to rest. Well, God got me on that. And that's why, you see, whatever the Lord is talking to you about, you can tell others. You know, and then this will pass over and he'll start with me on something else, and then I'll be talking about that, I hope. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. You know, I never did even really think too much about not resting. I just took it for granted that I was just a healthy person. And I didn't really praise the Lord enough for my good health. Now, Glenn, he is I guess he told you about it, but he's a stone maker, and he just keeps making these kidney stones, and we've had enough operations, and I don't want no more operations, so I try to be the strong one and pray for him, and here I am, down on my back. So I learned a lot. We learn a lot from the experiences we go through, don't we? Let no man... I left out a verse. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world, or life or death, or things present or things to come, all are yours, and ye are Christ, and Christ is God. Now let's go over to the 6th chapter, 9th verse. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Now, the kingdom of God is what? What does the Bible say the kingdom of God is? Righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. The unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, neither fornicators. Now, fornication has many facets. To be very blunt about it, fornication is having sexual relations before you're married. One kind of fornication. Another type of a fornication is messing around with the occult. Spiritual fornication. That's right. This man's up here. Just help me. I like that. Spiritual fornication. Now, we're going to go into the occult here pretty soon. And I dare say, unless you've had it broken off of you, almost everybody sitting in here has had some connection with the occult, or it has come down from the generations, from the third and the fourth generation, and is visited down upon you. Now, spiritual fornication, it has to do with fortune tellers. It has to do with tarot cards. It has to do with handwriting analysis. It has to do with the Ouija board. It's everything from the netherworld. It has to do with the water. It has to do with reading books by Jean Dixon. It has to do with horoscopes. Reading horoscopes. You only have to read a few horoscopes and you get tainted. See, the devil takes advantage of it, and then God says, now God says it, I will put a curse upon you if you indulge in those things. How do you like God putting a curse on you? It's bad enough to get the devil's curse, but to get a curse from God is kind of scary. I fear God. Sometimes I'll say to him, please don't spank me anymore, Lord. I'll do just what you want me to do, but please let me know and explain this to me. I've had plenty of reprimands from the Lord. And I don't really... my children used to say, they'll try you to the end, and then all of a sudden when you get the switch, I'll be good, Mama. I'll be good, Mama. I'll be good, Mama. Well, that's the way I was talking to God. But many people are involved with the occult, and they don't know they're involved with the occult because it's coming from generations back. It comes back from four generations. Now, I'll stop and tell you my own testimony. Derek Friend was at our house for 10 days, and he, last day, he kept saying every day, I must pray for you people. But we were in meetings every morning and every night, and we had to rest, and I would cook dinner and so on and so forth. But the last morning, he said, I'm going to pray for you people. And he said to Glenn and I, you're both under the power of a fortune teller. Now, some of you have heard it, but there's a lot of new people here, so we have to go over these things. And I said, well, I have never been to a fortune teller. And he said, but I didn't fight it. If somebody tells you you've got something, just say, well, cast it out. If it's in there, let them cast it out. If it isn't in there, there isn't going to anything happen. So I told him, I've never been to one, but I sure want you to pray for me. I don't want to be under any curse of a fortune teller. And he told Glenn the same thing. And as he began to pray for me and came against it, it was like a tent on the outside of me. It lifted and floated away, and I could see better. I could think better. I felt better. And I thought, where in the world did that come from? I had no idea. Then he prayed for Glenn, and another tent lifted off of me. I could see even better. It was like I was waking up out of a sleep, and I just sort of came to life. And I thought, oh, this is really, I like this feeling, but where in the world did we get all this? I had no idea. We had no teaching too much at that time. It was way back in the early 70s, I believe. And we had no idea where it was coming from. And Glenn's mother and father were visiting in California, and they always usually stayed with us. We had a lot of bedrooms in our house and bathrooms, so they would live with us all winter and then visit his other two brothers and their daughter. And when they knew Derek was going to come, well, they just sort of moved out of the house and went to another brother's. And I thought, well, why would they want to move? Why? This is wonderful. They could go to the meetings with us, but they didn't want to. So on Monday or Tuesday after Derek left, she came back. She and I were sitting at the dining room table, and I'll never forget this. It made an imprint on my life. I said to her, do you know anybody in this family that's ever been to a... She said, oh, yes, I have, when I was 17 years old. And she received the Holy Spirit in 1922, and they grew up. Glenn grew up laying on the sawdust floors of mission, and he had never been to the fortune teller. We had no idea that she had. So I said to her, did you know that Brother Prince picked that up on Glenn at the power of a witch or a fortune teller? And she hit the ceiling. She said, you tell that old Derek Prince, he doesn't know what he's talking about. Everything's under the blood. Everything's under the blood, she said about three times. And when she did, the tent came down over me again, and I had it back. And of course, I didn't know what to do, you know, until Glenn got home, and I told him back in our bedroom that night. I said, I told him. He said, oh, my. And I said, it's down on me right now. Now, the traits of the power of a witch or witchcraft over you is that you are a manipulator. That's one of the traits. And so, and she used to, at that time, we had plenty of money to buy anything we wanted. And when I went to the store, I used to like Del Monte green beans. And she thought, although they had money, but she thought that was a waste of money to buy Del Monte green beans. I think they were 29 cents a can at that time, or a quarter. And she would take them out of my basket, and she'd put those cheaper off-brand green beans in my basket. And I just let her do it, you know, and rather than have a fight. And all of that, see, she was ruling and irritating and was an irritant. So Glenn prayed for me, and it lifted off of me again. I didn't feel the tent. And he said, now, don't ever let that come on you again when she talks to you. So I never have. But I kept wondering, where in the world? My dad and mother were Assembly of God ministers. We were all saved in 1932. And that summer, we went back And right in the middle of a family reunion, a great big long table laden with food near Quincy, Illinois. And I said, right out, it just came out of me, has anybody in this family been to a fortune teller? And when I said it, my mother said, oh, yes, I have when I was 17 years old. Same thing as his mother had said. I said, did you know Derek Prince picked that up on me? And I was under a curse because of that fortune teller? And she said, guess what? You tell that old Derek Prince, he don't know what he's talking about. Everything's under the blood. Everything's under the blood. Everything's under the blood. And of course, I was just shocked. And my dad kind of, she says, he don't know what he's talking about. And my dad sort of came to my rescue. I was always kind of special to my dad. And when we traveled in evangelistic work, I used to play the piano and was with my folks a lot. And so my dad started discussing it. And we had quite a discussion. But we never did make my mother believe it. We never did. There's a long story about it, but I won't go into it. And I don't believe Glenn's mother. She's 84 years old. She don't believe it either. But I believed it. And I got that off of me and have kept it off of me. And I praise God for it. Then my mother further said, and this was just too much. She said, don't you remember your great-grandparents who came from Germany? Well, of course I remember them, but I said, why? And she said, your great-grandmother read palms and tea leaves. Well, I remember going to their house. And she said, and don't you remember your other grandma used to go to fortune tellers with your great-grandma? And I said, no, I don't remember any of that. See, the devil doesn't let you remember certain things. He reminds you of a lot of things that you don't want to remember. And then the things that you should be remembering, he won't let you remember it. So anyway, that's my story about fortune tellers. And my dad, I have watched him witch for water. I have watched him with that stick, you know, and then they'd drill a well. And there'd be water there. Of course, it's real. The nether world is as real as all of us sitting here. Out here, if we could only see out in the spirit world, we'd see all kinds of things. So that was my fornication spirit, see? Playing around. I read horoscopes. I admitted it to Derek, and I admitted it to my dad. Well, I read a few horoscopes, but I never believed them. But Satan said, well, she's reading them. We'll just throw another curse on her. And if you've ever read Unity books or Reincarnation books, Rosicrucianist books, Jean Dixon's books, Jehovah's Witness books, I don't care if you didn't believe it, Christian Science books, or been involved in any of those religions, you have a curse put on you by God. I can see some of your faces have a lot of consternation. Don't be frightened. Be glad you're hearing the truth, because the Lord wants to deliver us. Well, let's go on. I think we've stirred that up enough. Nor idolaters. Now, we always think of the Catholic Church as being worshiping idols, don't we? But, of course, we have other idols. In America, we have idols of cars, boats, football games, movie stars, singers, all of this. Preachers, people idolize ministers. They idolize their pastors. They idolize this and they idolize that. It's all idolatry, and it's coming from someplace. They don't want to do it. They don't even know they're doing it half the time. Now, in the you people, how many people have been Catholics that I know some of them up there, and we never went into it too much, but I've learned a lot from Patty King, our secretary, because her name was Steinkirchner, a good German Catholic family from way back. And when she first come here 4 or 5 years ago, we prayed with her a lot, and I was just always astounded because I didn't know. I had an Assembly of God spirit that had to come out, but I didn't know nothing about Catholics. And she had so many Catholic spirits. When you are confirmed, you get a spirit put on you, so you can't get out of the Catholic Church. That's the purpose of it. The devil has you captive in that. You take another name. She had fear of the Pope, fear of the nuns, fear of becoming a nun, because her folks wanted to become a nun, and the teachers wanted to become a nun, and all of these things that bothered Patty, and she got lots of deliverance, and we praised God for it. But at Christmas time, she and I, we were maybe a crowd a little bigger than this, I don't know, but we'd been praying with a lot of people, and it was toward the last night. And Patty and I had gone back there and sit down behind the book table, and we were just sitting there sort of looking. We weren't praying. We weren't talking. We were just sitting there. And all of a sudden, she grabbed her throat. She said, pray for me. There's something on me. There's something on me. So I started to pray for her. I didn't know what it was, but it lifted and left, and she saw Barbara over. Is Barbara here this afternoon? I guess she's still having trouble with her leg. Barbara is a nun that used to be a nun that lives here on the ground, and she says, what was that ritual they used to do to our throats with candles? And Barbara said, oh, that was the spirit of Saint Blaise, and this, you prayed to the Saint Blaise with a candle lit so you wouldn't have a sore throat. Well, because my throat is sore, I'm not getting any Saint Blaise candles to pray for. But that was a whole enlightenment that we had never heard of before. And unless you've been a Catholic and gone through those various rituals, and usually little children's when they put it through, and see, that stays on your flesh. And so that's, there are so many people that have things, somebody asked me to talk about this, they have things in their home that draws evil spirits, like statues, crucifixes, what's some other things? Owls and frogs, yes. We had a very enlightening experience. Medals, St. Christopher medals. A lot of people wear these chains around their neck that are serpentine chains. They're not like a regular gold link chain, which is nothing wrong with it. But these serpentine chains will coil up like a snake when you take them off and lay them down. It's the way the links are made or something, or the spine. They got a spine in them, I think, and they just kind of curl up. Things like that. But Indian, all kinds of Indian artifacts, and there's a kitchen witch that they're selling now, which is so, and Christians have it in their home. It's amazing. Yeah, good luck in the kitchen. Your cake won't fall or something.
I know the scriptures that the owls are unclean creatures, but when you tell somebody that you have them in a house,
what can you tell somebody? Deuteronomy 7, the last two verses, it says, bring no abominable thing into your house. And then you have to take up the word abominable and look and see what God says is abominable. And it will make your hair stand on end and probably raise up your temper a little. Yes, unless that you might become a cursed thing like it. Now, I had an experience here with a girl, and I usually fall into these revelations without even knowing I'm falling into them. And I have to come back and look in the Bible and find out what in the world the Lord is trying to show me or tell me. But I had gotten a little card from a girl that I hardly knew, but I knew her mother and father well. She was married to a lawyer. I'd gotten a little card from her saying, thank you for praying for my father, and he's better now, but I'm sick too. And I thought, now I better not tell her mother, because she'll think I'm divulging confidences. So I just left it on my desk and I began to pray. This has been about 6 years ago, or maybe a little longer, maybe seven. And one day I was passing, going to town, I was passing by her house, and all of a sudden, a tent of God's glory came down over me like fire. And I knew it was the glory of the Lord, and as I passed by her house, I thought the Lord was wanting me to go in that house and pray for her, and I didn't know what was the matter with her, and I really didn't want to go in. I had an appointment uptown, so I just went on to town, ignored God. Have you ever ignored God's voice? Sure, we do sometimes. And I went right up to town, did my errands, came back to the grocery store. I parked, went down. It was real hot in August. I went down to the Piggly Wiggly store down that hill. And as I got to the door, this glory cloud came down over me again. I wish I could have that all the time. It's so wonderful. And I don't know how to get it. And God just gives it to me when he wants to use me in some way by his spirit. But I thought, well, I guess I better not go to the grocery store right now, because if I buy meat and ice cream, I won't want to stop on the way home, and I better go back toward home and go and pray for her. So when I got to the door, her mother's car was there, and I was really glad to see her mother's car there, and I knocked, and her father came to the door, and he was weeping. He'd just gotten out of the hospital from his heart attack. I said to him, what's the matter? He said, well, she's got cancer of the colon. They gave her up today. I said, gave her up? What is wrong with her? And that's when he told me, cancer of the colon. I said, oh, my. So he said, go on in the back bedroom. My wife's in there with her. And I walked in, and what I saw there, I was not expected to see, and I didn't know how to handle it, really. She was sitting, propped up in bed. She weighed 68 pounds. She was the mother of a three-year-old child, and she was nothing but bones and skin. And she looked like, when I looked at her, sometimes I see people as things, you know, and not the real. I'm seeing in the spirit. And I looked at her, and she looked like an old witch sitting there. She's like, you know, it's horrible. And I looked at her, and I heard myself say, the Holy Spirit just spoke right out of me and said, I don't know how to pray for you in English. I'll have to pray for you in tongues. Well, if it had ever got up to my head before it came out of my mouth, I would have never said it because she's a Nazarene. She attended a Nazarene church, and they say tongues are of the devil. And I had enough sense to know you wouldn't insult somebody by wanting to pray. But she said, that'll be all right. You know, just a squeaky, high-pitched voice. So I walked over to her, and it was like a sheaf of light coming down over me about this wide, like fire, and down this arm. As I put my hand on her head, the Holy Spirit just started praying in tongues, just maybe six sentences. I didn't know what he said, but I just knew the glory of the Lord was there. And then I stopped, but I didn't take my hand off of her, and I said, take this virtue in. The Lord is healing you, and this is the virtue of the Lord coming in. It's coming right down through my arm into you. And so her mother sat there a few minutes, and she said, I tell you what, I'm going to take Amy, the little girl, home with me, and you just stay here and visit with her. So she got up and walked out, and when she did, the girl said, why don't you go around the other side of the bed and sit over there where mother was sitting, because I was still standing. And as I turned around, she was facing this direction, I turned around, and when I did, this whole wall was full of beautiful paintings. I mean, expensive paintings, and they were all owls. And I said, oh, that's what's making you sick. You've got to get rid of them. I'd never heard a sermon in my life about getting rid of anything out of your house. And I didn't know why I was saying it. And it wasn't me saying it. It was the Lord, the Holy Spirit. And she said, when you prayed in tongues, that big one over here doesn't like you. And he looked mean at me. And I said, well, I heard myself say this again. He's the king in here, and you've got to get him out of here. I went over there, and I sat down, and her husband called in a few minutes. And he said, he asked her, he had just heard the word from the clinic, and he asked her, talked to her, and she said, I want to go out to dinner tonight. Now, she hadn't had a bite to eat that she kept down for 6 weeks. She vomited and had diarrhea constantly. And he says, what's going on out there? And he was kind of an unbeliever. And so she said, well, Ms. Miller came by, and I'm healed, and I want to go out to eat tonight. And he said, I'll see about that. As soon as I get out of court, I'm coming home. And when she hung up, she looked me straight in the eye, and she said, I believe I'm healed. And I said, and I believe you are too. And that clinched it where two people agree is touching anything. And she was really healed. And that night, I came home, and I said to Glenn, I can't imagine. I told Glenn, and we started looking in the Bible about owls. And we found that they were night creatures of the night and so on, and they were listed in the abominable list. And so we were as shocked as she was, but that night she really and truly did go out to eat. She had what all young people have, hamburger, french fries, and a Coke. And then she called us up about 10 o'clock when she got home, and she said, guess what I had? And when she told me, I said to Glenn, oh, my land, if she lives through this, why, she could live through anything. And she did. She started gaining weight, and she's still here today. And I praise God for it. But then that started a whole new cycle in our lives about owls. Then the little, I walked through the house. I said to her, let's walk through the house and see what else. And she walked like what I thought was a penguin. You see, I wasn't tuned into owls, and she walked like a bird, a penguin. But her nails were real long, curled over her, and she was a night creature herself. She never cleaned her house in the daytime. She slept all day long, and so did the little girl. And then at night, she worked all in the evening. It had been like that since she married, and she collected all these owls. She had them all over her house. And so she said, Mother says that we better not tell my husband about it, because she says, if we tell him, he'll put us all over to Benton in the mental hospital. So I said, she said, just, Mother said, tell him we're going to paint and take him down. And I said, well, at this point, honey, I think you better tell your husband the truth. It's usually better to tell your husband the truth immediately instead of trying to weasel around, you know. So I'm throwing that in for all you girls that spend all your grocery money on a new hat or something. So anyway, the girl got well, and she told her husband, and the next morning when she woke up, And he was gone to work. He had taken down all those owl pictures. And She didn't have them in the house anymore, but she didn't know where they were. She got steadily better, gained weight, and about 2 or 3 weeks went by, and one day I felt impressed to call her, and when I called her, she said, come up here quick, Mother's on the way. I said, what's the matter, what's the matter? She said, nothing, nothing, just come up here quick. And I just spilled coffee down the front of my blouse, and I said, I have to change my blouse. She said, no, come here, Iris, all right, come right on. So I got up there, and her mother was there, and she said, I want you to get this stuff out of my house. She said, today I was walking down the hall, something grabbed me, I bent over double, and I began to vomit again. And she said, Amy, my 3-year-old daughter, went in the kitchen and got this huge owl picture that was the king, that we knew was the king, took it out of the pantry, brought it in, and put it under the edge of her bed, and she was so sick she couldn't do anything about it. Isn't that uncanny? Isn't that something? And so we started taking this stuff out. She had baby bottles made like owls. She had jewelry. She had all kinds of pantsuits with owls appliqued. She was just owl crazy. It was a fetish with her. So anyway, she had a big frog toy box in the little girl's room. She had all kinds of stuffed animals like frogs in the little girl's room. We cleaned the whole house out. We had a whole batch of it. And then they didn't know what to do with it. Eventually it came out. It's under the pond out here that we filled up. And we burned everything we could, and then they went over with the caterpillar and dirt. And that was the end of her cancer. And that was the end of her being tormented from that. Now, that may not go along with your theology, but that's what happened. And you can't deny a testimony. That is what happened, and that girl is well today. All right, now, and she was really, she idolized frogs and owls. Frogs are unclean spirits in the book of Revelation, aren't they? And owls are abominable creatures. Now, the next item is adultery. Adulterers. Now, adulterers. I think everybody knows what committing adultery means if you're older and married. It's going out with somebody else's husband or going out with somebody else's wife or committing adultery by looking on a woman to lust after her is adultery, and no adulterer shall enter the kingdom of God, the Bible says. The kingdom of God is peace and righteousness and joy in the Holy Ghost here on earth. It's not heaven. Kingdom of heaven is when you die, you go to heaven. Kingdom of God is peace. Do you know there's very few people have peace and joy and righteousness in the Holy Ghost? That's the kingdom. Nor a feminine nor abuses them of themselves with mankind. This is lesbians and homosexuals. Do you know, we're sorry that Skip and Sherry never got to come because Sherry was, before she was delivered and before she was married, she was a feminist. What do they call it? ERA and the feminist, you know. And she came here, the first time she ever came here, we were praying for her up here, and she kept screaming and screaming, and the demon kept screaming and screaming out of her. It was right at the end of a service, and she was going to be here the next morning, and I really didn't know what the spirit was in her, and we couldn't seem to get it out. But during the night, I was praying. I wake up in the night and pray a lot for things, and the Lord shows me a lot in the middle of the night when I'm quiet. And the Lord showed me the name of that spirit. So the next morning, they had to leave in the middle of the service, and I didn't know exactly how to handle it. And I finally just stood up and I said, Sherry, the Lord showed me the name of that spirit. I hate to see you leave here without it coming out. Do you mind if I just tell it to the congregation and we pray for you? And she said, no, that's fine. And the name of it was Super Independence. And when I called that out, it screamed and left. Super Independence. Super Independent Women. It's a dangerous spirit. And it's dangerous for men to have it, too. Super independent. But these feminist spirits, now we've had another case like that. This girl was a school teacher. She wasn't married, about in her 30s. And she became a feminist and was in the ERA and a leader in it. Very beautiful person. And it led her right on into lesbianism. And she said, many school teachers that have not married when they're younger, when they get older like that, and they become men haters, and then they enter into lesbianism. And she had tremendous deliverance. And it isn't unusual. I imagine sitting here in this congregation this afternoon, and I'm not psyching you out or anything, and the Lord hasn't shown me anything, but I would imagine that there is lesbian activity or has been sitting right here in this congregation. And God wants to deliver you. Homosexuality, it's very prevalent now. And it's very accepted now by most people, but should never be accepted by Christians, should it? Never. It's filthy, dirty, horrible. Sodomy is one of the darkest worlds that Satan has gotten people in, and it's very hard to get out of it because nobody really wants to repent about it. It isn't something that you want. Well, they're getting brazener now. They're very brazen. In fact, they don't mind saying I'm a homosexual, but I mean, that's come in the last 5 years. But the majority of Christians hate to say I have those tendencies and I don't want them. But if you have them, you need to tell somebody. You don't have to blast it out in front of the whole congregation, but you need to find somebody that has authority over it and get delivered, because it will just keep dragging you down and down and down. And I tell you, every once in a while we hear things that just blow our minds. Ministers who are drinking. It's bad enough for a layman to drink who aren't responsible for a lot of people, but for Christian ministers to drink, it is just horrifying. And it's, I don't know how many of you have ever seen ministers who come rise way at the top and way at the top in the Lord and then begin to drink. And it's coming from the sins of their fathers. And we just heard recently about someone, and it's really crushing me. I feel brokenhearted over it. And I say, oh, there's hope, because the Bible says you can deliver them that don't want to be delivered by the cleanness of your own hands through intercessory prayer. You know that? Kevin, can you find it in the Amplified Bible and read it? You can deliver those who don't want to be delivered. Kevin and I once prayed for his father to quit smoking. Oh, we do that all the time. You know, smoking is defiling the temple of God. Yes, Job. It's in the Amplified. Job 22:30. Raymond's got one, I believe. Have you? Job 22:30. We have, this revelation came to us in California. Job 22:30, and it's more clear in the Amplified. He will even deliver the one for whom you intercede, who is not innocent. Yes, he will be delivered through the cleanness of your hands. And we have delivered many, many people from smoking. And we have delivered many, many people from smoking. And I dare say there are people sitting in this audience this afternoon that are smoking and drink sometimes. And it's displeasing to God because it is defiling the temple. And if you want to be delivered and you don't want us to call it out loudly, you write it on a piece of paper. And as Gwen and I and Kevin and the workers walk through here at this 11 service this afternoon, just show it to us. And we'll bind it, and it'll have to go. We have authority over it. We do not smoke, and we do not drink here. We are against wine drinking, and we're against hard liquor drinking. And we learned that by revelation. Of course, we never were drinkers, but we learned this by revelation, that wine is a mocker. And mockery spirits will sit and laugh at you like wild hyenas laugh. Just weird laughter. And people that have drank a lot, or if their relatives, their father, and way back in the generations have had a lot of strong drink, they're usually very angry and full of rage. And all of you people that have drunk in the past and that you feel rage rise up in you, it's probably because you need deliverance from mockery and rage because of wine drinking and hard liquor drinking. We learned that by revelation. A young couple baby was dying. We were with Brother Worley up in Salem, Missouri. And he told us to go back, Glenn and I, and pray for this couple. When we started praying for them, here their baby, they think it will die that night in the hospital. And they begin to laugh like idiots. And I took hold of the girl's shoulder after a little while. I said, stop that. Stop that. Your baby's dying. Straighten up here, young lady. Roll up a little. And she laughed all the harder. So I had to send an SOS up to the Lord. I said, what is this, Lord? What is this? And right away in my mind comes, wine is a mocker, and strong drink is raging. So I said to her, do you drink wine, or have you ever? And they laughed all the harder and said, sure we do, sure we do. And so we prayed against mockery then, and asked the Lord to forgive them for drinking wine. And when we did, then this mockery came out, and they quit laughing. Then we said to them, do you drink strong drink? whiskey and beer and vodka. And they said, sure, we do it. And then the boy got real mad. He just swelled up, you know, like he's going to hit us, and clenched his fist. And that was that rage of that spirit in there of drinking hard liquor. And we came against that, and he was delivered. And I guess the baby lived. I really, frankly, don't know. It was way up in the middle of Missouri. But that taught us something. Many, many people were drunkards. And this very minister that is now drinking so bad was an alcoholic before he was saved. And you see, there's some thread, a rut in there that has cropped up and sprung up. So if all of you, any of you, have been drinkers before you were Christians and you haven't been delivered, maybe you don't drink and maybe you haven't touched a drop since you got saved, but maybe you need to have somebody pray over you for rage. And you see, if you go into a rage, then the enemy could easily come in with his desire, you know, well, may as well go get drunk if this is the way it's going to be, you know, and the enemy would tempt you. So that's something. Well, let's get on here. We got the homosexuals, lesbians, nor thieves. Now, a lot of people don't see anything wrong with stealing a pencil or a pen or stealing time from the Lord. I'm going to meddle. You know that 24 hours a day, at least 2 hours and, 40 minutes is the Lord's tithing, the Lord's time we should be spending for the Lord, reading our word, praying for others. You see that? And we wouldn't steal. We wouldn't think of robbing a bank, but we don't mind stealing from the Lord. We don't mind not paying our tithes and stealing from the Lord, but God minds. He writes that all down, you know, in his little book. Coveting what other people have, coveting automobiles, coveting clothes, coveting money, the love of it is the root of all evil. All this covetousness, nor drunkards. When I think back the 50 years that we've been in Pentecostal circles, and I think of all the big preachers that I looked up to and thought they were spiritual and everything that finally went off and died drunkards, they've been used mightily of God. That is just, I just want to cry and weep. Don't that make you cry and weep? Yeah. And you see, Satan loves for people to get up real high in the spirit, and then when he sweeps them off, he can bring 1,000 down with them. See, a lot of people say, well, if he can't live it, I'm not even going to try, and they'll just go out and backslide. So we need to pray. All of you need to pray for ministers, the ministers that are in the forefront of the battle. We need to pray for Brother Worley. Brother Hammond, David Alsobrook, the people that have been here as our speakers, and I hope you'll pray for Glenn and I, because it's a constant battle. There's hardly any rest from day in and day out of people who need deliverance. Nor, what is that, revelers or revilers? Revelers. Well, we all know what that means, I guess. Somebody asked me if they needed deliverance from when they used to dance. Yes, sensuality dancing, we do need deliverance from. One time we prayed for a girl, and she loved dancing, and we just came against it, and all of a sudden, we were down here, there wasn't hardly two or three of us who were praying. All of a sudden, she just said, let's dance, and she began to whirl. And it was like she had an invisible partner, and she was dancing like Fred Astaire. And then she went into all these different kind of dances. We wrote them down. I think there's about 20, and I don't know much about dancing. We weren't allowed to dance at my land in early Pentecost. You couldn't even dance like we dance here now. There's nothing wrong with dancing before the Lord, but there's a lot of things wrong with sensuality, dancing in bars and in restaurants and cocktail lounges and all of that. So if you've ever been involved with a lot of dancing, you know, my dad, before he was saved, I was a little girl, and I remember they took us there. He used to make homebrew and take it to the dance hall, and he was a caller at a dance. I guess that helped him when he preached. He sure had a good voice. But we were never allowed, after he got saved, boy, he was through with dancing, and that was it, you know. But when the Camerons came to the States is when dancing came back into our lives, and the spirit of dancing. It's beautiful, and I've always said we wouldn't have to diet so much if we'd fast more and dance more before the Lord. It will take care of our weight problems. How many agree with that? Okay, let's go on here. What else is not good? Extortioners. That's con men. Boy, there's a lot of con men Christians. You know that? They'll con you out of everything if you let them, if you don't catch on to it. And those are spirits that make them do it. They don't want to do it. That's the devil in them that makes them do it. Conning you out of, borrow money and never pay it back. Always figuring out some big deal. We have a man now, bless his heart, he calls us for prayer, and he invested through the Four Gospel Businessmen's President somewhere out in California. He invested $47,000 in stocks that this man was telling everybody how much money they was going to make, and it's connected with greed. And he lost all of it but $8,000. Lost it all, $47,000 savings. And that is extortion. Revilers, yeah. I know reveling and revel, that's parties, but also it is revilers. We have lots of people revile us, and I'm trying to learn to receive it and not talk back. That's hard, you know? Paul said, I've had lots of insults. A lot of people have reviled me, but Jesus, he reviled not again, did he? And I think the Lord is trying to lead us all into that. When Satan came to Jesus, he could find nothing in him. And God is cleaning his people up. He's cleaning us up of spots and wrinkles. It's not that we go out cursing and swearing and carousing and all of that. That's not what God is basically after in all of us. It's the spots and wrinkles. And he wants us pure, so when Satan comes at us, he can find nothing in us to attack. And I dare say that none of us are probably in that category yet. But it's a hope that we have that we're going to come into that perfection and that purity. Well, let's see. Was there something else that people have asked me to speak on this afternoon? I know I've rambled a lot, and I haven't really said as much as what I even planned to say, but it's getting late. The pork. Honey, you want me to start a real riot, don't you? Swine's flesh is abominable, the Bible says. It says don't bring it into your house. Now, if you can receive that, fine. Now, I received it the hard way. See, God deals with me in very hard ways because I asked for it. One time, a long time ago, when we first started, we came out of the church and we first started, it seemed like Sonship Come In ministry and deliverance and everything was coming at us, and it was also new. And I was reading about the army of the Lord. And I was reading what the general does and what the sergeant does and all these things. And I got down to the bottom. And the last thing was the CIA. And it said the CIA goes behind the enemy lines, finds out how the enemy is working, and comes back and tells the rest of the army. And it said, would you like to enlist in God's army? So I looked them all over. And I finally said, I wrote down, yes. What would you like to enlist in? And I put God's CIA. I'd like to find out how the enemy works. See, I didn't really know what I was doing. I just thought that sounded kind of interesting. And there was a man that worked at Autonetics. And when we had our company, he was a buyer at Autonetics for graphic arts. And he used to give me typing and lots of work. And he was a CIA man that had retired. And he could look right through you. Boy, you didn't dare fudge on the truth. If he said, bad effort last night, Irma. If I knew there was some bad things in that copy we'd typed, I'd have to say yes, because, boy, he'd weasel it right out of you anyway. But I had a lot of admiration for that man, and he helped us get the Apollo contract that really caused us to have money enough to buy this place, to get this place. We were first vendor on typing for the Apollo, and we typed literally thousands of pages on the Apollo contract for several years in our own company, and it was a secret facility, and we worked. And he was a CIA man, and so that was one of the reasons why I put that down, because I had a lot of admiration for him, and I respected that man because he was 100% through and through. Well, anyway, the Lord started dealing with me and showing me things physically so I would not gainsay things, you know. I'm kind of from Missouri, you know, and show me first. I hear a lot of things. I'm not one of these name it and claim it people. And if I'm sick, I say I'm sick. If I feel great, I say I feel great. And that's just the kind of person I am. I don't know if it's right or wrong, but that's the way I am. And I just started having all these experiences with seeing demons and seeing how he was working in Christians to defile them in a subtle way that they didn't know. And the first experience, I'll tell you one experience, and I'm going to quit. Glenn said to me, do you want to drive into Hollywood? We sold accidentally, on purpose, God caused us to be able to get all cash out of that secret facility that nobody, I never knew how to sell it. I had to pray, and Glenn had a heart attack. And within 2 weeks, we sold that facility. We had a big print shop, 23 IBM executive typewriters, all set up with Greek and mathematical symbols for equations, art department, big Robertson camera that was practically as long as this thing is wide, big camera that rolled out and took pictures of the pages. Sold the whole place for all cash, and we walked out of that secret facility, and God dropped a man right down out of heaven. He didn't have a secret clearance. He couldn't even go back in the room where they were doing all the work in his own business. And he didn't ask us to stay there one day. He didn't want me to show him about the Lockheed contracts or Litton contracts or Douglas. He didn't. It was just God. He loosed us, and we came out with all cash, and we were free. Otherwise, if Glenn had never had a heart attack, I don't think hell and high water could have ever pulled me out of that business. I was very tied up with it. You know, just probably idolized it. We were successful, and God helped us. We prayed, and God helped us. So Glenn asked me one day, we were filing something for the IRS that they had wanted about selling it, and he said, do you want to ride down to Hollywood with me? So I got my Bible, and I rode into Hollywood with him, and he went into the IRS office, and I was sitting out there reading my Bible, and it became noon. He went in about 20 minutes till 12, but 12 o'clock came, and everybody was filing out for lunch, and here comes a girl, black patent pumps, black skirt, white blouse, dressed just like I did as a secretary, walked out, come up the street, and I just sat there and was watching her, looked up and watched her. She got up to me, up even with me. There was a grassy spot and then the sidewalk, because she was way out here someplace. And she walked right over to the window of the car, put her head in the window and hissed 3 times and turned around and walked away. And I was devastated. I had to grab my keys out of my purse, turn on the ignition, roll up the electric windows and lock the car doors. And Glenn come out, and there I sat in that hot car. And he said, what's the matter with you? And so I told him. And we were amazed and shocked. And see, I had forgotten I'd signed up for the CIA. And God started me on a route of showing me things. And I see lots of things I don't want to see. And a lot of things I don't understand. It may take me days and years to seek the Lord and find out about Him. But God has showed me. And someday, I expect to put all these things down in a book to help the other soldiers. We are a minority with this kind. You people are a minority with this kind of teaching. You know that? We are a minority of a remnant of knowing and learning about deliverance. Oh, do I have to go back to that? Well, the same man who come and delivered us the first time, and I wanted deliverance ever so bad, but I was too proud to get it in a meeting like this. And besides, he had that bucket. And he always put your head down in it, and I was too proud for that. And we used to have those big top hairdos, you know, real up. And he used to walk down the aisle, drink a glass of water, and then throw it on all we proud people sitting there. Just throw it on our hair, and that would ruin our hairdo, you know. So, but he did finally, after 7 weeks of revival, I'd get so mad at him. I don't blame you for getting mad at me. You're probably just raging inside, some of you. That's all right. That's good for you. You'll see, that's the devil. You won't want to be like this. But after 7 weeks, I would not really go down in front. Sometimes I would if it's some little picky thing that wasn't too bad. You know, I could handle that. But I didn't want him to get down to the deep, deep things in me that I knew were there. But he called, and he came to our house, and he prayed for us for deliverance. And I tell you, I was delivered from curses of death that was put on me by my grandmother, who was the fortune. She hated me because my mother had a second child, because my mother was an only child, and everybody was an only child way back, and she didn't want my mother to have another baby, and my brother was 2 years old, and here I am coming into the world, and she literally cursed me. And they always said, well, your grandma's punched with your brother, but I never realized it until this man broke this curse off of me, and literally, it was like barrel staves around me, and I was like this, and when he loosed me, I heard those chains and fetters fall off of me. I threw up my hands and I began to praise God, and I've really never been the same since. And he delivered me of a lot of things. Well, about a month later, we were in Portland, Oregon to a full gospel convention. By this time, we had gotten out of our business and was traveling with the full gospel on a free gratis basis. We paid all of our own way in the hotel, paid our gas bill, and helped them with the tape. Well, this brother Duncan, we paid his way there and got him a room so he would come up, because he lived in Portland. This was in, he lived in Centralia, and he came down to Portland, rode the train and came down there. And so we wanted him to pray for us after we finally got through that night, and we were in his room, and we were praying, and he came in serpentine, plus a lot of other things, which I don't even remember, and nothing really happened. See, a lot of things that we come against here, nothing really happens right then. It'll start happening tomorrow, or a week from now, or pretty soon you'll gradually see, hey, I don't do that anymore. I'm delivered, and I don't even know when it happened. So, when it came against the serpentines, I had no idea what it was, and we finally went to bed about 3 o'clock. Well, the next morning, the convention was over, Sunday morning, and we were in bed, asleep, and I woke up about 8:30 or 9, and I turned over to Glenn, and I said, what's a serpentine? And when I said that, there was something turned over upside down in my stomach, and I just started to vomit like a fountain, laying on my back. And I jumped out of bed, grabbed a towel, and got in the bathroom, and I threw up like gallons of green water. And all I could taste, it was so horrible and repulsive, but all I could taste was like old boar pig that we had to eat during the Depression way back in the early 20s, and late 20s and the early 30s. When we had depression and they just butchered anything they had, you know, whether it tasted good or not, we had to eat it. And my mother always made us eat what little meat we had because she thought we needed meat. But I never did like pork, but I would eat it occasionally. So I said to Glenn, I don't want any more pork, but I didn't know why. I just said, oh, it tastes pork. Whatever I'm throwing up has to do with pork. But I didn't put anything together of serpentine. We got back to Los Angeles or to North Hollywood or to, I guess we were living then in Northridge. And Glenn went to get the car fixed one day, and I rode with him over to Beverly Hills, and the library was across the street. And I went across the street, got the biggest dictionaries I could get, and I looked up everything on serpentines. Well, I found out that it's little wiggly worms. And it said some of them are unseen, like parasites and viruses, and named all these serpentines. So then we went, following Sunday, we'd never been to the little country church of Hollywood, and how we ever got there, only the Lord knows. We went there, and they had some books on the table. One of them was Divine Health Laws, God's Divine Health Laws. And I read in there all these abominable foods, which includes duck and goose and rabbit and swine, pork, catfish, everything that doesn't have fins and scales and so on and so forth. And I said to Glenn, let's buy this book. It was $1. Well, $1 in those days was nothing to us. We had all kinds of money. And he said, no, we're not going to buy it. And I kept pleading, manipulating probably. And I said, well, let's look at this. I want to read this. And I was standing there, and finally he let me buy it. $1. I hope I've forgiven him. Well, now he gets that book. We keep it locked up in the file, but he gets that book, and I have to watch him that he doesn't, you know, take it for his very own. Because then we refer to it. Now, the best article I've ever seen was in the Saturday Evening Post 2 years ago in the August issue, and you can go to the library and get it, 1982 August issue, and it's the same issue where the Assemblies of God have their big article. I think you can get it. And there's a big article in there. It shows these worms that come from pork and unclean foods, and they're in behind people's eyes, they're in the intestinal tract, they're all through the body, and they say most people who think they have arthritis, really arthritis or bursitis, it's these worms in the muscles. Well, you see, God knew the children of Israel did not have any swollen legs, did they? Their ankle, how many got swollen legs in here today? See, God told the people what to eat, and because of rebellion, but they did tramp around the wilderness 40 years, and they weren't sick, and their clothes didn't wear out. Well, if it was good for the children of Israel, why isn't it good for us? And since that time, we have not eaten, and we will not serve it in here if we can, if we know about it. We have to watch everything because there's lard in almost everything. They do it all for the love of money, but it is very, it is cancer-forming. And see, rebellion, I have always said that, that I believe that cancer is coming from rebellion and witchcraft. And if we rebel against God's word, now you can go home and eat all the ham or whatever you want to eat. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm saying what God says, and I know it's a touchy subject, a very touchy subject, but I think we'd all be healthier. I believe we'd all be healthier if we're what we eat. All right, we've had enough of this. We will keep learning, won't we? We will keep learning. And also, I'll tell you another thing that's very bad, and you won't like me at all for this, but God said it. He said it in Genesis. Don't eat anything that isn't seed-bearing. Mushrooms are not seed-bearing. They are
fungus.
They're spores. They're spores. Okay, let's get on another subject. We've had enough. Make an impact. Either make them mad or make them glad in deliverance services. How many are mad? Well, the Lord says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. And I want to be thoroughly delivered. And boy, it's hard on the flesh. It really is hard on the flesh. It's something, even when people call here and they'll tell us about their cases and they want to come, I usually put my hand on my head and say, oh, Patty, here they come. Here they come. Just two or three people, you know. But we've had all kinds of cases come here. Horrible cases. Now, I don't know. I don't know all your problems. A lot of you have told me your problems. And the Lord wants us to live a victorious life. And I am far from perfect, I'll tell you. And I need lots more deliverance. And I would get it all over with right now today if God would allow me. But you know, if we got it all in one day, we wouldn't have any mercy on anybody else. We would be merciless, wouldn't we? But God wants to deliver us. And he says, I'll drive your enemies out little by little. Little by little. And he does not allow Irma Miller to tell him what he wants, what she wants him to do. He tells me what he's going to do. And when you pray, every once in a while I make a list and I say, Lord, I feel I need deliverance from this and this and this. Please, in your timing, would you please deliver me? And most of the time, the easiest way to get delivered is repent. If you'll repent more, you won't have so many demons. Repent of your rebellion, of not wanting to obey God's word, not wanting to keep his commandments. The Bible says in Matthew, I believe it is, if you will come into life, you must keep God's commandments. You must keep his word. And just because you like bacon, so what? If God says don't have it, why would you argue with Almighty God? I don't want to argue with Almighty God. I'm afraid of him. He can grind us to powder. And don't think for one minute. You start reading the Old Testament, it'll make your hair stand on end. Man, he killed thousands in one day, many times, because of their rebellion. They could not enter in to God's best because of their rebellion. And I dare say that all of us still has a lot of rebellion, and a lot of it is ignorance, because we haven't studied the Word of God enough to know what he wants us to do and what he doesn't want us to do. And I believe that as you pray and ask the Lord to show you, turn the light on you and show you what's in you, that he will show you loud and clear. And I used to pray that prayer a lot, and I need to pray it more. Lord, turn the light on me and show me. Let's all bow our heads. How many in here believe, after hearing this short talk, that you need deliverance in some areas of your life and you want to be delivered this afternoon? Put up your hands. Be honest. Honesty is the best way to get delivered. Honesty. All right. Let's pray together. Let's repent together. Dear Father, we come in the name of Jesus. And we admit that we've been ignorant about the Word of God, that we haven't studied it like we ought to, and we have allowed things to come into our life, or we have inherited things that holds us back from true deliverance and true victory and the kingdom of God. We've lost our joy our peace and our righteousness. And we want you to forgive us for our sins and cleanse us. Cleanse us from idolatry. Cleanse us from fornication. Cleanse us from adultery. Cleanse us from reviling. Cleanse us from, what was some of the others? Extortion. Con people. Cleanse us from conning people. Remove our mask off of us. And look into us with the Holy Spirit. That powerful light that sees all. Cleanse us. Deliver us. And set us free. Make us deliverers. Help us to help other people. Help us to let our light shine. Help us to overcome by the word of our testimony and the blood of the Lamb. You say, Lord, whoever calls on your name will be delivered. We call on you now. Deliver us, Lord, from these things that defile us, from these things that hold us back. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. I don't want any of you to pray anymore right now. The easiest way to get these spirits out is like having a baby, and women understand it. When you have a baby, you have to bear down and get this entity out of you that doesn't belong. When you cast out, you have to bring it up. And most evil spirits come in through our mouth because we're all so verbal. And, I mean, I'm so verbal. Maybe you aren't. And we have to breathe out. The Holy Spirit comes as breath, and the devil mocks Jesus and everything he does, or God. And the evil spirit comes as breath. So you start breathing out, and we're going to need some paper towels, Patty and Kevin, and here, you can help. You're a big, strong man. And I'm going to start calling these out, and don't be messing around looking at your neighbor and what's happening there. Just get at your own spirits, and let's get them out. In Jesus' name, I command you to come out now. Idolatry, come out in Jesus' name. All spirits of Catholicism, all Catholic spirits, come out in Jesus' name. If you've been a Catholic, hold up your hand. If you've got it in your background, hold up your hand and we'll come. Okay, back in the back. Patty, a Catholic girl. Somebody else, Catholics. In Jesus' name, come out. Catholicism, idolatry, idolizing children, idolizing parents, idolizing preachers. Come out in Jesus' name. Idolizing evangelists. In Jesus' name. Come out of them. Come out of these people in Jesus' name. Breathe them out. Breathe them out. We're serious business here this afternoon. Breathe them out in Jesus' name. Breathe them out now in Jesus' name. Ouija boards, occult spirits, incest spirits, come out in Jesus' name. Conning people, lying, stealing from God, not paying your tithes, stealing, in Jesus' name, come out. In Jesus' name, hatred and mockery, come out. Drinking spirits, hatred and mockery, come out in Jesus' name. Come out now in Jesus' name. Breathe them out, let them go. Cough them out, get rid of them. They're afraid of you. Work at this a little bit. In Jesus' name, come out. Come out of her. Come out of her now. Thank you. I bind your power in Jesus' name, and all karate spirits, I command you to come out of these people in Jesus' name. Karate spirits, come out in Jesus' name. All spirits of serpentine, I command you to leave these people this week in Jesus' name. And the desires that come with eating unclean food and blood, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Nina, could you come and let's sing? I command you, Satan, in the name of the Lord.
Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Praise you, Jesus. I command you, Satan, in the name of the Lord, pick up your weapons and flee. For the Lord has given me authority to stomp all over thee. I command you, Satan, in the name of the Lord, pick up your weapons and flee. For the Lord has given me authority to stomp all over thee. I think the word says walk, but I always like to stomp. There's no point in walking softly. I command you, Satan, in the name of the Lord, pick up your weapons and flee. For the Lord has given me authority to stomp all over thee.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.